Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Okay. Vande Guru Paradvandam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Nityananda Sahoritam Sri Nandanandanam Vande Radhika Charana Dvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamulasaniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridiyanti Bakarim Snapayati Nija Dasye Radhika Mam Kadanu. The glorious Seva of Srimati Radhika. We're continuing today. Actually, we have a new topic. We're finishing one point about the moods and sentiments of Radharani's handmaidens, maidservants, how they feel, and what is their. It's a little low because we took this inside. We have to readjust it. Just leave it. This is how it goes. The Manjaris naturally and humbly feel, they naturally and humbly feel that they are not so qualified to serve and please Sri Krishna because their point of comparison is the Yukteswari that they work under or serve under and Srimati Radhika herself, who is the embodiment and personification of the topmost seva to Krishna. So everything is like that. There's a... sorry, because we took it inside. It's a little low. I got a little low. Yes, listen. It goes this way. Let's come up about it. Like that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Oh, now you're going up. You just went up 1 inch. Oh.
This is okay?
Yeah, I'll tighten it. They have a natural inborn humility. That's why so much is stressed from day one when we approach Krishna in the very beginning of Adosha Ratata Sarasanga. That Trinadapi Sunichena. This is so much hammered into us and driven into us by instructions and occasionally by example. We see someone that's really humble. That's hard to find, but we're a very proud group of human beings, most of us. So it's very hard to find amongst us a truly humble gentleman or lady devotee. But that's the ideal that we're all striving for, is to efface all of our and remove all of our hankar, false ego, pride, and speciality, that I'm special, I'm different, for whatever reason. Krishnas Kaviraj says we should wear this around our neck to remind ourselves constantly of this quality of humility. This verse of Lord Chaitanya. So then, this is the natural, the svabhavika, the natural mood and bhava of the Manjaris, as they feel that I can't serve very well and I'm not very expert. And I remember and when I first was in the spiritual movement, that we would look around, we were newcomers, and we'd look around and see the senior devotees, what to speak of Gurudev, our own gurus. And we're thinking, wow, they're really serving Krishna, and they're really surrendered, and they're really humble. And I'm nowhere, but I'm trying to get somewhere. And they're the exemplars and the guideposts and the inspirators to push us forward and guide us forward. So it's always like that. This word is there, anugatya. We're always following. We're always under someone. And even Krishna, he says, I'm under someone also. Radhikara Prema Guru Ami Shishyanath. He says, even I have a guru. Radharani is my guru. So with that mood of feeling unqualified to serve Radha and Krishna, they were praying for the Adhikar from Tulsi to serve amongst the Mandris. Seva Adhikara Die Koro Nija Dasi. Seva Adhikara Die Koro Nija Dasi. Make me your own Dasi, Nija Dasi. But to make me that, you have to qualify me. You have to give me the qualification, the right mood, the right bhav, the right tolerance and humility. I'm begging you and praying for that. So even there in Nitya Dham, Goloka Dham, and Sakshat Seva of Radha and Krishna, the Mandris are feeling that I'm not qualified for my Seva. Because, and that's the mood, and in that mood, the Mandris are always, they always remain absorbed in serving and assisting and pleasing Radhika. When you read the various books of the Goswamis, like Utkalika Valari, or Vilap Kusumanjali, or Sankalpa Kalpa Drum, or other books where sevas, the Mandri sevas are mentioned, there, Vinod Valari Mandri, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, or Rati Manjari, Rupa Manjari, they're mentioning sevas that they're doing. And we're to pray like that and to meditate like that. So I once asked one guardian, how does it work? Because when we read Govinda Lilamrita, and we see that it describes the Pratakal in Barsana or Yavat, when Srimati Radhika is being dressed by her Manjaris and Sakis, rather Sakis primarily, Ashta Sakis. There, some are dressed in, you can move closer and the sun won't be in your eyes. You can sit right here. I don't bite. That's why we have the asan here. If you were all Indians, they would all be sitting here. He's only sitting there because he's with Westerners. The camera. Yeah, but you can sit this close. You know, the DMZ, what they call it, the LOC you have between Pakistan and India, line of control, line of camera, LOC. So I put it here because I know the sun was coming there. I already watched the sun movement for a week or so. I was sitting here watching the sun at between 3 and 5, thinking where to put. So that's why I didn't leave individual asanas. I put this big one to force everybody to sit away from the sun. Vaishnav Seva, Jiva Doya, Nam Ruchi. We're trying. We should all try it at all times to serve the Vaishnavas and be kind to everyone. Of course, we're motivated, like everyone else. No one does anything without motivation. No one eats without motivation. Eating is primal. Without it, you die. But why do you do it? Because you're motivated. What motivates you? Bhuk rahega. I'm hungry. I'm starving. So then you eat. So we're motivated. We want ruchi for nam. We're very selfish and motivated. We want to have nam ruchi. So therefore, we'll serve the Vaishnavas and we'll serve the living entities and show compassion, although we don't want to. And we'll serve the Vaishnavas, although we don't want to. But we do want to taste something in the Nam. That's our selfish, individualistic experience. We want the Anand. Where's the bliss, the joy? Okay, serving Vaishnavas, being good to people, giving prasad, distributing books, Harinam Sangirtan, Jiva Doya. But what about me? Where's my benefit? Where's my bliss? Where's the bliss? We're all bliss brokers. You know, real estate broker, stocks, broker means like a dealer. So we're bliss brokers. We're dealing in bliss. Oh, Premananda. Every you ever read the Shastras? Pick up any book. Every fourth word is Premananda, Premananda, Premananda. The bliss of pure love of God. Who's tasting it? Who's experiencing it? We're all running towards it. And it's this huge cloud. It's an unlimited cloud. And once in a while, a drop falls on our head, and we keep alive, running across the desert, searching for the cloud. That cloud is there, the prema meg. And someday it'll shower on us and drown us and drench us, and it'll become prem vasaila. We'll be floating in the ocean of prema. But meanwhile, we're running across the desert of anarthas. And when you're in a desert, even in the desert, it rains occasionally. But by the time the drops hit the sand, it disappears. So a drop falls on your nose, a drop of premananda. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the desert. This is sadhana. But that drop, we heard yesterday, or 2 days ago, we heard the glories of hearing Gaur Lila, that it's a vast, unlimited Amrit Sindhu. And if you just get Ek Bindu, one drop from that Amrit Sindhu, Krishna's Kaviraj is telling, the Shruti fall from Gaur Lila Shuno, Gaur Katha Shuno, from hearing Gaur Lila, Gaur Katha, get one drop, then you get Premananda and Bhakti Tattva Gyan. You get two things. You become a smart guy and a bliss guy, full of bliss and full of intelligence, knowledge, Bhakti Tattva Gyan and Premananda. Because, why do they feel? They're always absorbed in serving and assisting. So when I was talking about Chitra's painting Radharani's face and someone else is putting, like Raghunath Das is painting her feet. So we're meditating, we're praying that someday maybe I'll get to do that. So I asked one guardian, I said, well, these services, intimate personal services of Radharani are already being done. She only has 2 feet. And Rati Manjari is painting those 2 feet. And sometimes Shamsaki in Krishna's different disguises, he comes and does it. But he's not very good at it. He does it once in a blue moon. And the Sakis Manjaris do it every day. So when he gets there's other factors also. The Manjaris keep a little cool, balanced. And his hands start shaking for various reasons. His heart is shaking, his mind is shaking, his hand is shaking. So he does a terrible job, and Radharani kicks him. Get out of here. You learn from them. So then what is it when you become a Nitya Sakhi and you enter this spiritual world finally after Vrindavan, Vrindavan, you're going to say, excuse me, Rati Madri, move aside, I'm going to do this now. So I asked, how does it work? I mean, because we're told to meditate on these sevas and we pray, O Radharani. And even the prayers, kada, kada, if you look at Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana and Vrindavan Mahimamrita, there's so many places where there's prayers for seva, seva Prarthana, swabhishta, swabhishta seva, swabhishta, abhishta, my own personal desire for service. When, oh Radharani, kada, kada, kabe, kabe, tada, when will I paint your feet? When will I string a garland of malati flowers and drape it on your neck? When will I brush your hair and make a bani? When will I tie small strands of bakua flowers in your beautiful hair? When will I decorate your lips with a special mixture of, or your face with a special mixture of kunkum and yavaka? When will I do that? There's prayers like that. They're for the sadhakas and the raganuga sadhakas and Ragmarg. So I asked, I said, we'll do these things? Because it says Chitrasekhi is doing this, so now she's out of a job when I get there. And she comes to America then, and I go there. She goes and distributes books while I go and... Not exactly. So I said, how does it work? He said, this great well-wisher, said that is the first thing he said, Goloka is a realm of infinite possibilities. That was the opener. Just to put to rest all limited, calculative, dualistic, linear thinking that we all grow up with, especially in the West. That realm is there. It is the realm of infinite possibilities. And I said, can you practically explain that infinite realm for the finite entity known as me? And he said, it's like this. Ratimanjari is painting Radharani's beautiful, tender, sweet lotus feet with lac, red, this red dye or whatever. And someone has to prepare that lac dye, and someone has to make some brush to apply that lac dye, and someone has to hold that lac dye very, very steady in their palm of their hand to make all facility and assistance, dasi anu dasi, gopi bartu parakamalayor dasi anu dasi anu dasi, to make it very easy for my guru sakhi, my ultimate guru sakhi, Rati Manjari. So it was like this. He said, occasionally, by the arrangement of Radharani and Yogamaya and your guru sakhi, you may have an opportunity to assist in any one of those services. You may prepare or make the brush, or you may hold that cup, and then Rati Manjari is painting, and you're watching very intently, because this is an apprenticeship. Apprenticeship means you're learning and watching. And you have your abhishta, you have some subhishta. Oh, as you were praying as a sadhaka, oh Radharani, when will that day come when I can paint your beautiful lotus feet? That prayer will still be there when you're there in Manjari Sarup. You'll be so close. That prayer will move you closer and closer. One moment you'll be preparing the lac. Then you'll say, look, I made it. Then you'll give it to your Guru Sakhi, and he'll give it to a Guru Sakhi, and he'll go like this and end up with Rati Manjari through the parampara, Sakhi Seva parampara. Or you'll make the brush. And then somehow you may get promoted up the line closer and closer to Radharani's feet, and that close where you're holding and you're watching. And then, by the will of Radharani, communicated through the heart of Rati Manjari and through your guru, Sakhi, you may be asked, so occasionally in the eternal course of Leela, you may be asked, oh, your guru Sakhi will say, listen, Rati Manjari wants you to paint Radharani's feet today. So then you'll get a chance to directly render that service. It is the land of infinite possibilities. Because there's a whole other dimension of calculation that in every group and every, because there's, and the other, sometimes people say, oh, there's only one Radharani Krishna. So how all these millions of sadhakas that become mandris, how will they get their chance to do any kind of service in any relationship with Radharani Krishna? So then our acharyas explain, and it's not such an esoteric point. It's clearly evident in the pages of 10th canto Bhagavatam, in the Dwarka Leela by Narada Muni's personal testimony and witness as he traveled from palace to palace in Dwarkadham. And every palace he saw Dwarkadish and Rukmini and Satyabham. And you know, he went to Rukmini's palace, he saw Rukmini, and he saw Dwarkadish, and he saw Vasudeva and Devaki, and he saw the whole family members there. Then he went to another palace and he saw Krishna or Dwarkadish and Satyabhama and Devaki and Vasudeva. And everyone, each palace had all the different members. There were thousands of Krishnas and thousands of his family members in every single palace. The whole parivara of Krishna was there, everywhere. So the same thing, for every group, there's your guru and his guru and his guru and his line going to Lord Chaitanya. They will have their own seva kunj. It's something like what we heard. I don't know, I haven't heard it directly. I have not read it. Maybe Prabhupada said it. But I've heard that Prabhupada said that we will have an ISKCON in the spiritual world. Is that correct? Someone has heard that on a tape, or he has read that? Has anyone heard this? From Prabhupada, or just here and there? Yeah. I mean, I have heard Prabhupada's tapes a few times, like about 20 times each one. And I don't remember hearing that. But Prabhupada says so many things that aren't even on tapes, which are bona fide, and in conversations in the car. So I can't say. But at any rate, it's generally understood, something like that. So that's true. We will have ISKCON, not exactly ISKCON, but we'll have a Sevakunj. Prabhupada, when Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan, he didn't live in ISKCON. Did Prabhupada live in ISKCON in Vrindavan? Now, if you come in Vrindavan and you don't live in ISKCON, will you be in Maya? Because when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he didn't live in ISKCON. But he wasn't in Maya. But you may be. It better you be in ISKCON. Safer, for sure, no doubt. But it's always safe in this close association of devotees, wherever it is. Whatever the name is. Sarusanga. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvado. At any rate, there wasn't any ISKCON. Prabhupada lived in Sevakunj, his eternal home at Radha Damodar Mandir. So like that, and as he said, this is the center of the spiritual world. He said, this place, Prabhupada said, that he said, and it's in my book, Prabhupada Radha Damodar, quoted. And that's in Lilamrita, and that was quoted by Prabhupada and cited in Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita. Prabhupada said, Sevakunj is the center of the spiritual world. It is the hub, or something like the hub of the universe, or... He said, this Sevakunj is the center of the spiritual world, and this is my eternal residence. So if you put it all together, Prabhupada's eternal residence is Sevakunj. Sevakunj is in the spiritual world. Prabhupada's eternal residence at Radha Damodar in Sevakunj, which began in 1959, at least in historical calculation by human observation, but I mean, that's Prabhupada's eternal place because he said so, but at least it's written in history. He moved there in 1959. He moved into Radha Damodar Temple. This is called historical calculation. But in terms of eternal understanding, he said it's my eternal home, which means nitya, which is not 1959 or 1209 or whatever. At any rate, so Prabhupada, what he's saying there is, this is the center of the spiritual world. Sevakunj is my eternal residence. That's before ISKCON. So now there's ISKCON. So that means ISKCON, the eternal residence of ISKCON is in the spiritual world, and the eternal place is Sevakunj. So in that sense, when Prabhupada says there will be an ISKCON in the spiritual world, I'm taking that quote, if Prabhupada said it, because I haven't heard it directly, that what Prabhupada meant that way, which is the philosophy in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, that in the spiritual world, there will be an ISKCON in the spiritual world, but it will be called Sevakunj. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah. And all the followers and liberated souls of Prabhupada will be there in Sevakunj, serving Prabhupada in his Siddhadeya, and your Siddhadeyas, our Siddhadeyas. Because that's the way it works. So every group, if you're you have a particular guru and a guru sakhi and a parampara, they go to their Yukteswari, maybe go to Lita Sakhi, or may go to Vishakha, like Rati, if you're with Raghunath Das and his Yukteswari, your group leader is Vishakha, if you're with Rupa Manjari, don't get this confused, she's the chief of all Manjaris, but your line can go to Vishakha, Sakhi can be your Yukteswari, or Lalita, like Raghunath Das, Lalita, Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari with Lalita, and then there's Chitra, and like this. Okay? So then you and your, just like Raghunath Das has his parampara, Yadunandanacharya. Yadunandanacharya is the guru of Raghunath Das, and his group goes and to Lalita, to Vishakha Sakhi. But he's serving side by side with Rupa Manjari, and he's serving Radharani, but his Yukteswari group leader is Vishakha. So there, in the spiritual world, there's one Radha and Krishna, there's the Astasakis, the Astamandris, there's Radha Krishna, and then there's your Guru Sakhi and your whole group. So it seems that Radharani and Krishna is just right there. There's just a small group of Sakhis and Mandris that go, at least right now it's a small group, as time goes on, behind you they'll become more and more God sisters and God brothers, whatever you want to call them. So everyone will have a very intimate access to Radha and Krishna. So basically, the newcomers, what has been told is that those very personal, intimate services of Srimati Radharani, in terms of her bathing and dressing and decorating, which are her body, her personal body services, are already assigned and being done since time eternal by the Ashtasakis and Ashtamanjaris, and the Nityasakis, which is the newcomer Manjaris, the liberated souls. When they go there, they will assist those Manjaris and Sakis in those eternal services to Radhika. And occasionally, if it's the will of Radha, and the Yuteshwari, they will also get a chance to personally render those services. That's why in Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, Vilapku Samanjali, Utkalika Valari, Vilapku Samanjali, and so many books by our Gaudiya Acharyas, they say, when will that day come when I get a chance to paint Radharani's feet, to brush her hair? Those Acharyas, Vishnu Chakravarti, Rupa Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj, Prabodhananda Saraswati, they are eternally doing those services. There's no question of when, kabe, or kada. And they don't need to pray for when will that happen. Well, I'm praying, when will I become a pure devotee? Not because I'm a pure devotee, I'm trying to show you an example of how someone should pray. I'm showing you that I'm praying when, oh when. Because this is we're all praying, oh, when will I have taste for the holy name? Aparada, Guchi, Shura, Namaruchi. There's all these bhajans and prayers that we sing. When will that day come? My offenses will stop and I'll get taste for the name. So these songwriters, they're not offenders to the name. They're writing for us. So this is the sum and substance of our desires and our prayers, is that they're giving us, how do we pray? Here's how you pray. What do we pray for? This is what you pray for. What should you aspire for? This is what you should aspire for. What services are rendered up there by the Manjaris? What are the work opportunities? If I go to Germany, what are the work opportunities I can get? What are your qualifications? Well, I have a master's degree in medicine. Okay, great. You know, become a nurse or whatever, doctor. No, I don't want to do that. Can I chant Hare Krishna? Get out. We put you in jail, you chant Hare Krishna. So there's no work opportunities. So these are all the possibilities for seva in the spiritual world are given, outlined and given. So they're praying for us. So that means if I'm praying, when will I get a chance to do this as an anugatya or following? I'm following Rupa Goswami, Sankhya Purva Kandama Gana Natabik. We're supposed to follow him as Rupa Goswami and follow her as Rupa Manjari. Seva Sadak Rupena Sudrupena Chatrahi. So externally we pray the Astagams. Sankhya Purva Kandama Gana Natibi. Sankhya Nam, we chant a fixed number of names. Gan means prayers, songs, bhajans. Sankhya Purva Kagana Natibi. Natibi means humble obeisances. Natibi. When will I offer prostrate obeisance, dandanvats? So many numbers of times. And there was a fixed number of dandanvats offered every day by Raghunath Das Goswami. 2,000 Shashtang dandanvats to the Vaishnavas and 1,000 to Leela Stalis and Thakurjis. So this is the following that will be done. So, because it's a fact which the Manjaris realize fully, that Radharani alone is the embodiment of the topmost form of pure love for Sri Krishna, Madan Mahabhav. Among all the millions of sakis, Srimati Radharani alone is the most expert and perfect lover of Sri Krishna, who can please Krishna the most in an unlimited variety of newer and newer and more novel ways. Thus the Manjaris know, the Manjaris observe this and they see this, oh, you're the best servant, you're the best lover. Krishna is most pleased and happy with your services. So if I'm intelligent, I should just assist you and help you. That would be I would get the best advantage, and that would promote my cause the best to work with you. There's a phrase in Hindi that says, if a poor man even lives next door to a rich man, he will be benefited. I don't know the Hindi. If a poor man even lives next door to a rich man, he will be benefited. In Juhu Beach, in Bombay, it's a very wealthy area. There's one very wealthy millionaire. He lives right on the beach. Big house right on the beach. And it's right near ISKCON. So you see when you walk on the beach, as Prabhupada did, and walk there early morning and chant japa, you'll see this huge bungalow house. And leaning, not on the ocean side, but on the side, not on the side, because the ocean's here on the side. This is his house, this is the ocean. On this wall, the wall of his house is about 30 feet high, so no one's going to jump his wall dacoits. You know, straight cement for 30 feet, and all barbed wire, whatnot. But against the wall, that's one wall of the shanty houses for the poor fishermen. So on this side of the wall, the guy has 50 million zillion dollars. He has unlimited money. And one his wall is the one wall for the fisherman who has 10 rupees. But the advantage is that he lives right next door to this rich man. So the phrase is that if a poor man lives next to a rich man, he automatically gets benefit. So every couple of months, the rich man opens his door and he throws out all the things he doesn't want. Old televisions, old computers, old cell phones. And the poor fisherman picks them up immediately. Because he's sleeping by the door. And then he goes to the market and sells the old television and gets 10,000 rupees. And this way he becomes a very fortunate poor fisherman. Because that phrase is told about me and my neighborhood. Because people come and they give lots of things here for the service of the Vaishnavas. And we distribute them to the people. Some people from Delhi came recently and gave me 5,000 kilos of mangoes. And I do like mangoes, and Krishna likes mangoes, but I don't like them that much. So they were. The plan was that we would give every house in Radhakund 10 kilos, which was two boxes. It was, of course, a massive riot, as you can imagine. But somehow it went off, and it's just Radharani's wish. I didn't know anything about it. They called, and I said, please go somewhere else. Don't do it here. This is going to go crazy. And they said, no, we want to do it there. So it wasn't my idea. So then it was a little wild, but then in the course of it all, several TV crews came, and there's the biggest, one of the biggest televisions in India is called India TV. They came and filmed, they came from Delhi to film me and interview me. Swamiji, what is the motivation of why? And I was like, I don't even know. They called me this morning, so the whole truck came, and they had to unload the truck and the bullock carts and bring it. Oh, so it was the wildest thing I could ever imagine. And so in this way, you know, the people benefited directly or indirectly. Anyway, it's a little side point. So in other words, the Mandris, they know that Radharani, that she it's best, they know, they're smart. If I serve and please Radharani, then they can please Krishna more than by directly serving him. So this is, we're just finishing. What is the sentiments and loving mood of the Mandris, the Gopi Bhav? And if you're wondering what the topic is, and what is their mood behind their service? And the summary of it is that the Mandris feel and they act, they feel and act while they're thinking that Srimati Radharani, she's my everything. She's my one and only mistress and controller of my life. Actually, one will find in his life, if he's practicing Raghunuga Bhakti and seriously identifying with the desire, identifying with the desire to become Radharani's handmaiden or maidservant, that everything he starts to do and sevas that he starts to do, it doesn't come very quickly, but if you start thinking like that, and always praying and reading the particular books that direct one towards the service of Radha and Krishna in the mode of Madhurya Rati, then you will find that whatever you do, your consciousness will take that action. Your consciousness will pick up your senses. Your consciousness will pick up your senses, your eyes and your nose and your hands and your mind especially, and take you to the realm of transcendence. And then you'll find yourself surprisingly, practically situated there in the spiritual world. And I'll give you an example from my own experience. That it's recommended in Shastras that during Kartik month one should take his prasadam on a Brahma leaf. The common name of a Brahma leaf is Palasha Patra. And Palasha Patra was growing very, very abundantly in Vrindavan. It's a very huge tree and grows very tall. And this is what the cowherd boys used to make their cups with. Because it's a very the leaf grows in three. There's two side leaves and one, like a clover, three-leaf clover, but it's a big thing. It's a leaf. It has a big stem, and then to support these big leaves, a thick stem. And the leaves are kind of oblong. Two leaves here and a bigger leaf in the center. Something like for Lord Shiva, there's a three-leaf configuration, but it's kind of pointed. It's actually considered that Palasha represents Brahma. Palasha tree is Brahma. That's why it's called Brahmapatra. Then the bale tree, the bilva tree, which is this three leaves you offer to Shiva like this, that's considered to be Shiva. Lord Shiva is in the bilva tree. And in the Brahma's in that. And the Ashwat Briksha is Krishna. Ashwat is what we call people tree. Has like the long tail type of thing. That's people tree. If you read in Bhagavad Gita is describing vibhutis of Krishna. And he says, Ashwata Briksha Aham. Briksha means tree. Aham means I. Among trees, I am Ashwata. A-S-H-W-A-T-T, Ashwata. Which we commonly call people, P-E-E-P-U-L, people, not people. So that's the Brahma leaf. So the boys, it's a very big leaf. And when it dries, it goes like, it's a leaf, but when it dries, it goes like this. It naturally curls up like a cup. So that's what they were bringing the buttermilk, the chaj. They were bringing every day the Brijvasi Das, or whatever his name was, the servant of Das Goswami, was bringing him this buttermilk. He would go and beg from a Brijvasi, and they would take a leaf, he would pick up a leaf from the ground. The cups are lying on the ground. Imagine a world where cups are lying on the ground. You know, and the Pepsi falls from trees. You know, you pick up the cup and go like that, and or whatever. So there, you know, the soft drinks are buttermilk. So, like, and it falls from the pots of the gopis, you know, the kumbhas. So he would collect that. So the coward boys would get that. So in the Puranas describing Kartik Brat, Kartik Matyam, it talks about so much hetu and benefit one derives by taking his prasadam from the sacred Brahma Patra. Very hard to find. You read in the history of this land of Brajamandal. At one time, there were millions and millions and millions of palasha trees. Now you have to go very, very far and be very, very lucky, and then get the person in the right mood, and then you have to pay some bribe, and if the wrong person is there, you can't even get them. I went on one day. And he said, you can't come today. You can't pick today. I went another day. It was Navaratri. No, on Navaratri, you can't come. It's not very easy, even if you know. And so now, get the leaf. So now you get the leaf, you wash it, you cut it. So now if you have this type of consciousness and any type of activity you're doing, first I started cutting the leaves. And then I think I'm cutting palasha leaves and I'm going to use these for the seva here. Then I started to think, well, What is it? How can this be an Udipan? How can this activity, how can what I'm doing right now, how can this connect me to my eternal identity and to the eternal realm of Radha and Krishna's loving service? The Madhurya Bhava, the Sakhi Mandris and Radha and Krishna and Brajadam. And simply, I have a cutter, a little cutter you actually use for roses. I was cutting, because the center leaf is called Brahma leaf, and that's only for Brahmins. And the two side leaves are for the other Varnas you can eat off. There's so many technicalities. So I was cutting off that and doing the proper niyam. And then I just thought like that. Then Krishna changed my consciousness, created a whole new scenario, and put me in a different identity, in a different consciousness, different identity, different gender, different place. And now this palasha leaf became a pond leaf. Because in Mayapur, on the one road in ISKCON Mayapur, going back towards from the Lotus building and over, I don't know what it looks like now. It's been several years, 10 years since I've been. But there was one road going back towards maybe Brahmachari Ashram or Vamshi Kunj or Vamshi Guest House or something back there. Back towards Talavan or Taravan, you know, to that side. And it was lined with betel nut trees. Betel is a palm tree. It's like a palm tree, like date palm and coconut palm, but it's thin. You take your two hands like that, it's this big at the base, and it goes about 16 feet high. And it has these little, looks like little dates, but it's betel. So I remember about, you know, the twins, they would go up there and pick it, and they would dry it, and they would cut the betel nut and prepare the tambo for Radha Madhav. Because Prabhupada told us in 1975 in the Didi, when he gave us new ideas for deity worship, we should start offering tambo and pan to the deities and distribute the mahaprasadam to the life members or Indians or whatever. Because we don't take, the Vaishnavas, we don't eat the betel nut. But so in the temples, you know, they offer. You know that, yes? You know, the betel nut and the pan. The pan is a leaf and then the betel nut. So I saw him with his cutter and I saw him cutting the betel nut into like sections. And this has all like, looks like a little, like a brain almost when you cut it. It has like little things, betel nut. And then, when I was cutting this, suddenly I thought, no, I'm like this. And these are pond leaves, and I'm cutting this, and then I cut them, and I have to wash them now, and I got a pail, and I have to wash them, and I have to wash all the dirt and car exhaust and everything off the leaves, and I have to prepare them for the for Radharani Seva to make the pond, and I was totally, actually, my consciousness totally took me into another realm, and I was in bliss. And took about an hour to prepare to soak them. Then you have to shake them off and then spread them around the room so they dry. And in this case, you know, they'll go like that. And so I'm just citing this as an example of how, as we advance on the path, then any small seva we do, if we should stop and think, wait a minute, how does this? How can connect this? We may see some nice things happen. That Krishna may open some visions for us and give us some slight pictures of the ultimate reality that we hanker to enter into. So this is the conclusion of the discussion of the mood of seva. We're talking about seva, and everything was pretty much connected to this idea of seva, even the examples I was giving. Now the next topic I wanted to describe is the name and identity of mandris, because they have a lot of interesting, it's all very interesting topics, and some of its review of the five, this is, I always like giving class here because it's very rich variety. There's birds and squirrels running around and nobody can fall asleep because the speaker, you can usually fall asleep with any speaker, especially after lunch or during an eclipse or whatever. Right now there's an eclipse going on. And ordinarily one would be in some holy water, like Radhakund chanting his Ishta mantra. And it's told in Hari Bhakti Vilas that there's 275 pages describing what's to be done during eclipse. And it's called Purush Charan. And Purush Charan was performed by the six Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and I believe Bhaktisiddhanta. and Gaurakishore, many Babaji's. It's a very rigid and difficult tapasya, and many involves five basic rituals, centrally center of which is the chanting of mantras so many thousands of times for a fixed period, like 40 days or 30 days, like this. So there, at the end of it all, he says, if this one can't do this, then during an eclipse, Suryagrahan or Chandragrahan, then he can also get the benefit of a Purushcharan. But then again, that's a 9-hour brat for a Chandra, and it's a, 9 hours? Yeah, 9 hours, and 12 hours for Suryagrahan. So that means this morning at the Sparsha time, when the moon or the sun begins to touch the eclipse, or the actual eclipse begins, it's called Sparsha, you deduct 9 hours for moon and 12 hours for sun. So the beginning is 5:58 p.m. today. And sometimes it lasts 5 minutes, some 1 minute, sometimes 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and even 2 hours. Again, not generally, but depends on where you are in the globe, on the planet. Today it goes from 5:58 to 6:06 or so. It's 8 minutes or so. Very short eclipse. So from the time it starts, you can say it's 6, so you deduct 9 hours. So the deity seva, everything, all the deity seva, darshan, puja, food, drinking, everything stopped this morning at 9 a.m., according to Shastra. That's what everyone did here in Radhakund. And that's what's told in our Panchang, our Bengali Panchang. And that's in Hari Bhakti Vilas also, in all Puranas. From 9 hours before the beginning of Chandra, or a moon eclipse, one should not drink any water. So everyone has to really rush. Some devotees only eat once a day after 12 o'clock. Their niyam is to eat once a day. So if there's some grahan, then they have to eat before the grahan. So during grahan, I should speak in English actually. Before the eclipse, during the eclipse, the sutak period, there's a contamination period and the actual eclipse. Contamination period means sutak, and eclipse means grahan, I suppose. This is the words. So the entire period is at 9 hours. 9 hours plus the eclipse, or 12 hours for the fourth. So from 9 o'clock this morning until 6, to put it in easy language, from 9 a.m. this morning until 6:08 this afternoon, one should not eat and one should not drink any water and one should not sleep if you want to have a lot of shoulds. If you like transcendental, then you do your thing. But I'm not that transcendental, nor are any of the devotees living on the banks of Radhakund that transcendental, apparently. Although they're very highly situated in terms of ashram, they are all following this particular yama niyam. So what to speak of me compared to them? So this is some of the rules. But of course, Prabhupada, as we know, didn't introduce these rigorous things. So we chant Hare Krishna because that is always pavitram, and everything is fine. But as everything expanded, everything more, as one grows, then his responsibilities also grow. As one's knowledge increases, then his actions modify. A baby has little knowledge and his actions are rather unusual. As he gains more knowledge, then his actions change. So our actions in devotion, they will change as we advance in our understanding. Naturally. That's why we have Vaidhi Sadhana and we have Raghunuga Sadhana, isn't it? So let's go on to this term. So don't ask thousands of questions and all of these things. You study and you have the Adhikar and your Guru's guidance, you'll learn all these things. So now, the five Sakis, one thing, there's no darshan, so Harinam, the temples will all be closed. So actually, I could, if you want to have, after, are you interested in hearing anything more about this subject? since you're all here by chance, at a place where there is the holy Ganga and the holy Yamuna, and all the holy rivers are here in Radhakund and Shyamakund. But that's important for many. But what's really important for us, the most important holy rivers here, and the most important holy water here, is the Charanamrita of Radha and Krishna, and the Charanamrita of the Sakis. Because every day at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Radha and Krishna, all the Sakis, and bathe here in Radhakund. So the water washing from their feet is called Charanamrita. And where is it? Where can you find it? How far away? That far? It's different ways to answer this question. It just depends on your consciousness. That's one way you can answer it. It may be 500 years, might be 500 lifetimes far away. How far are you from the Charanamrita of Radha and Krishna? Or how far are any of us from the Charanamrita of Radha and Krishna? That's the question. Because if you go a straight line, then it's 411 feet. Not 410. Anyway, if you go that way, it's about less than you're in meters. It's less than 120 meters, or 150 meters. 150 meters that way is the Charanamrita of Radha Krishna. So, what we can recommend is this. I'll give you two, because we do Harinam every day. But one of the high points of Harinam is dancing for the pleasure of Thakur Ji and Thakur Rani, Radha and Krishna. That's our life. Our life, and our life, we're dancers in the Sankirtan party of Nittai Gaur Nittai. And you see how that was so friendly? We went to one temple, the Bajari stood in the temple. He looked at me with glaring eyes and told me with his eyes, "Get the hell out of here." You don't know so much what's going on, but because the temple Pujari will communicate with the leader of the party, who I guess fortunately or unfortunately is me, because I go there every day, so he knows me, and he doesn't look at me like that usually. He usually gives me Tulsi leaves and Charanamrita. But then I realized, because I could say, well, I'm right, and I am right on one level, but then I thought, well, this is Damodar month, and there's a certain bhava in this month, and the yatris, and our bhava is a little bit like clashing with the bhava that's being created in that temple at that time. So then I have to see, we have a phrase, put yourself in the other person's shoes. So I understood his mood and his need. So then I stayed another minute, just full minute for the pleasure of the deities, and then I left. And I won't go there again to disturb the bhava. Because I'm not that dull. I'm dull, but not that dull. And he's my friend also. So you can feel, in common vernacular, feel the vibes. You know, you understand what I mean? So tonight, there's no deities we can please by trying to please by dancing and singing for them. So we won't have an opportunity. We can go on Harinam together. There's quite a lot of devotees if you want to join. Or you can have some observance of the eclipse and get some of the benefit. What would you like to do? Because I had the intention of just doing the after class running off to Radhakund for my own benefit. But then I thought, well, I can do Harinam for everyone's with everyone. Or I can take everyone with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Or it has to be in Russian or in German or something? No, because I don't want to disturb people that are chanting the mantras. I have to, because for you it's okay. You can go anywhere in front of the mosque and chant Harinam and it's okay, but they come out, you know, if you go in front of the mosque, you might get in trouble. So this is a different, because it's a clash of bhavs, yes? So much a clash that come out and, you know, cut off your bhav. You know, you'll cut off your bhav. There's a clash of bhav and I'll cut off your bhav. above. Above means your existence. Bhava, bhava sindari. Bhav, long A, bhav means love. But bhav, B-H-A, short A, bhav means material existence. You heard of bhava sagar? Bhava sagar, the ocean of material existence. Bhajahore mana, what is that? Bhava sagar, bhava sindhu. Bhava sindhu re, right? How's that? You know that song? Bhajahore mana shri nandana andana. Isn't there a bhava sindhu re? No? Another line in the song. Yeah, you don't even know the song. There's one song, part of the song says bhava sindhu re. That the Sindhu means ocean, and Bhava means the ocean of material existence. So I said, if you go in front of the mosque in chant Hare Krishna, there will be a clash of Bhav, and they will come and cut off your Bhav, your existence. So similarly, if we go with loud Harinam, which is wonderful, but here at Kala Desha Patra, which you have to consider everything you do, the time, place, and circumstance, it will be a clash of Bhav, because there will be Goswamis from Radharaman. There will be Goswamis, which I know, Goswamis from Radharaman, not that I know, but I know they're there because I sat next to them, and Goswamis from Banki Bihari and other places that come whenever there's a Grahan, Chandra, Surya, at night or whenever, and they sit there that I sat next to them, and they do their mantras. So, which is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It won't work. It's could be even called offensive. So one has to consider everything according to Kal, Desh, Patra, time, place, and circumstance. You can wear your gumsha in the kitchen and cook your lunch, but you can't wear your gumsha to go to work. it's common sense. So we went in Rome to do as the Romans. So we can go there and not do Harinam, but we can go there and chant Gopal Mantra. Or we can chant Radha Mantra or whatever mantra it says in Hari Bhakti Vilas. From the beginning of the Sutuk period till the end of the eclipse, one should have a peaceful, tranquil mind, sit in a holy body of water up to his knees or waist, or at least have contact with the water, and chant his Ishta Mantra with his head covered facing east and totally absorbed in meditation and moan. For 9 hours or 12 hours minimum during Sutak period, then throughout the entire length of the eclipse. So this 9 hours, 9 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m. is the Sutak period for Chandra, and then from 5:58 until 6:04 is the eclipse. So then it's 9 hours and 8 minutes, or 9 hours and 1 hour, whatever you follow. So the head is covered. Sometimes it's night. It's from 11 o'clock at night till 12:30. And then it's full moon at night. Sometimes it was so crowded at night with people doing bathing and doing anik. It was like in the November or December, somewhere in the winter, freezing time. I had to go in Shamakan. I was even crowded in the bank. So I walked in Shamakan and I said, I want to get... And some kids came when I was chanting mantra out of nowhere and started going, ah! They weren't chanting Hare Krishna. They were just yelling their different mantras, Videshi, this, that. So I said, I want to get away from these kids. So I started walking. I don't know, I was like mad. I don't know what, I was walking into the water in Shamukha. And it's deep. But I was just walking and all of a sudden it wasn't deep. I was standing on some steps. I was chanting. And then they were yelling and I just started walking a little further. I wanted, just let me get away from it a little more. I thought, I'm just going to get deeper. And all of a sudden, it was like stepped up. So I stepped up and I walked. And then I kept walking. And I was about 100 feet away from them. And then they could hardly see me, or it was because there was an eclipse in them. And I said, how is this? I was standing in the middle of Shamakund up to my knees, which usually... And then later, this was in, I don't know when... I don't know, 8, 15 years or whatever it was. Then in 2008 or 9 or whenever, the last cleaning was, they cleaned Shamakund. And then I saw Bajranav Kund is the great grandson of Krishna, in the middle of the big Shamakund, which you see visibly with your eyes, underneath the water, which you don't see, is another walled-in area. It's a wall inside a wall, right? Like this is a wall around here, we can make another, there's another wall there of that swimming pool, right? I mean, of that lotus pond, or no lotus, but. So the Vajranab Kund, that was there. So somehow, by Radharani's arrangement, Krishna's arrangement, my feet ended up on there, and I was far away from the kids. It was quiet. And then the moon came out of the eclipse, and it was shining. Oh, it's the most unforgettable moments of my life. And there was no emergency lights, no inverters, and no electricity. And it was the most beautiful, beautiful night. It was, I don't know, December. It was cold, and Braj has so many unforgettable, millions and millions of beautiful, sweet memories that oftentimes I think about Haridas Thakur. When the Muslim, I mean, it's no comparison, but I'm just sorry, please forgive me. There's no comparison at all of the two personalities. But when they're beating him and he's saying, Kanda Kanda, saying, Kanda Kanda, you can break and chop my, they were beating him, the rulers there, because he was chanting, and the leader didn't want him to chant. The government was against chanting. So they were beating him, and they wanted to beat him to death with bamboo canes. And he said, okay, you can beat me, you can beat me, you can chop my body into 100 pieces, but I'll never stop chanting Hare Krishna. Kanda Kanda, Kanda Kanda Deha, Kanda Kanda Deha, but Akanda Harinam, something like, you know, Akanda means, he was saying, it was like Akanda means break, and Akanda means no break. You can cut and break my body. So I remember this and I think about it. Anything can happen, whatever happens to me. You can do this, you can cut that, you can kick me, you can insult me, you can throw me, do anything to me, but don't take me out of Vrindavan. I feel the same way. So I often, because when you're living here as a Western person, you must be knowing, if anyone lives here continuously, and we've lived here somehow by Guru's grace and Radharani's blessings 27 years, never left to go to our country. I went 10 years in a row, I went every year to Mayapur for a month, and Puri for a month. I went once or twice to Bombay, and Delhi on my way, I just went to Delhi on my way to Mayapur and Puri. So I haven't lived Vrindavan in 27 years. So you go through, you get a few chops. Sometimes big ones come. But this is because Vrindavan is so beautiful and so mystical, and it's not just something on a t-shirt, or it's something, I can speak from experience. I don't want to go anywhere, and I don't have any need to go anywhere. I remember once, and everything's here. Whatever you need is here. Whatever you want is here. Everything you can attain is in Vrindavan. It's Kapilvrikshas, Chintamani. If somehow you can just get the Vrindavan, you have to pray. I remember when I was in the West, I was just, the first service I had was taking care of Tulsi in the first few days. Actually, the first service, cutting vegetables and taking out trash and all these things. But then when I got, you know, minor purification, and but even during that time, they asked me to do Tulsi. The first thing I was doing, I was in Bhakti, was giving Tulsi Artik, doing Tulsi Artik in L.A., Los Angeles, temple. And I memorized that prayer, and I thought, what an amazing prayer. But then if we really want to live in Vrindavan, we start praying every single day and worshiping Tulsi and praying. And somehow it'll happen. I remember in 1987 when I came, I was coming every year with somebody for a month or two. In 87, I just said, I prayed to Radharani and Krishna, and I asked my GVC and Sannyas Guru, I said, I want to go to India, Vrindavan. I don't want to come back ever. He said, well, all right, I know your heart, but you know, you're following Prabhupada. What can I say? You're my godbrother. Okay, you go there, but remember, you know, Prabhupada told us to preach, so wherever you go, preach. So I had no money. I had a one-way ticket and no money. And then Krishna and Radharani and Prabhupada did everything else. All I did was preach. And this place I have didn't come from disciples. My brother bought this property, and one Indian friend who was not a disciple, he's someone else's disciple, he's out of ISKCON, he's a Marwari, He paid the money to build the kutir. So not one penny came from any disciple. So it's not like, oh, I'm a big guru. So that I call one friend, I call him my brother, he's my friend. He came once and asked me to show him Vrindavan, and I showed, and he said, if you never need help, give me a call. So I called him, I said, I need some money. So he said, okay, I'll send it to you. Next day he sent it to me. Then I went to Delhi to visit one man that I don't know very well. I said, can you give me some money to build an ashram? And he looked at me and he said, you expect me to give you 10 lakhs? And I estimated it would cost 10 lakhs. I said, whatever you give, that's your wish. He said, okay, I'll give you. So how is that possible? Two phone calls and I got 25 lakhs. That's Krishna. It's not a miracle, it's just the miracle of Krishna, and you all have equal access to it. We're no different, we're all the same. You're a devotee, you're trying to be devotees, I'm trying to be a devotee. You want to live in Vrindavan, I want to live in Vrindavan. You're from the West, many of you. You're from India, many of you. It's easier to live in Vrindavan, but you don't. Because you have your Guru Seva, then you're also bound. Everything is different, my Guru's in Nitya Lila. My guru's here, I didn't move one inch, one millimeter without his approval. And even 12 years or 10 years after his entrance into Goloka, I didn't go anywhere either. So I was in his service for 12 years, steadily. And then with the permission of my senior, my GBC, I came to India. So we'll talk about the name and identity of the Manjaris tomorrow. I didn't finish the eclipse thing, but we have, do you want to know about that? Is anyone interested in actually doing something or not? I'm going to tell you what to do at 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, if you want to do something. Yes? Because basically you can get a lot of benefit. What you have to do is, you have to, basically all you have to do is go get a gumsha. Get a gumsha, and or not even a gumsha, you have to go to Radhakund and pay pranams, and it's a long, I'll just give you the minimum thing. You're supposed to do prarthana and sankalpa and many things, but the basic thing is have your body, be sitting in, or your feet touching holy water, your head covered, so that's what the gumsha is for, to cover your head. Cover your head, and you can face any direction, especially north or east, wherever you can face without disturbing anyone. But the main thing is have your body, some part of your body, preferably standing, or like when there was an eclipse during Lord Chaitanya's time, everyone was standing up to their waist in Ganga. Did you read in Chaitanya Bhagavatam? And Chaitanya Charitamrita, everyone went to the Ganga and they chanted their Ishta mantra, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, or they chanted Kam Gayatri or Gopal, whatever. They were chanting their Ishta mantra, worshipable mantra. And so you cover your head and you chant your mantra and close your eyes during at least for 40 minutes or half hour. Then afterwards, in the clothes you're wearing, you take a bath. Then just walk home and change your clothes if you're living here. Or if you're not living here, and you bring a change of clothes. Or you have some friends, you only have one clothes, you came from Vrindavan, you have some friends, you buy a gamsha, you have some friends and you go and you dry off and you hang up your clothes until they dry, and they dry or half dry, and wear them and go back home. If there's a will, there's a way, is what they say. If you live here, then it's easier to accommodate the thing, because the clothes become contaminated. So then afterwards you bathe. And while the eclipse is going on, you're supposed to also take a bath. But there's some adjustment that I inquired about that. While you're chanting mantras, you know, with your left hand, you just dip into the water and sprinkle the holy Ganga, Jamuna, Radhakund over your head, like this, over your covered head and body, and you're continuing to chant your mantra. And you'll feel that, especially, of course, it's a very short time, it's 8 minutes, during the eclipse time, when it's actually an hour or 48 minutes or longer, that the whole atmosphere, of course, it can get pretty noisy over there, but when there's not many people around, that you can actually feel that there's some energy, special energy at that time in the atmosphere. And if you're chanting and locked into the chanting of the mantra, you'll feel some very, actually feel a transcendental vibration. Especially depending on where your own consciousness is. But it's a very special time, so we can do that. If you want to do that, so then we can not have Harinam. Do you like to do that?
Yes.
Any questions about that? Okay. It's clear? The way India is, if you live in Vrindavan, for example, you bathe, and by the time you walk to the temple, you'll be dry. You know, the lady has a sari on or whatever, you know. I can remember many times I've been on Parikrama, and I'm just like this, and then I get to some kund, and it's hot, and I'm by myself. I just jump in. Because there's no rules. I'm a sadhu. I don't, you know. Jump in and walk, and no one's going to say, "Oh, your clothes are wet." It's not Germany or France or somewhere. And then in 5 minutes, they're dry again. This is a transcendental land, Vrindavan. The only thing that, it's a very interesting point, people say you have to be careful of Dhammaparads. I challenge anyone in this audience to show me where Dhammaparads are in Praman. Now, you can call your friend Krishnadas and ask him about this. Please produce the Praman to show Dhammaparads. And the Praman, I will take the Praman down to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, just to establish some historical perspective, okay? And I think you understand what I mean. Narottam, Vishwanath, Baladeva, and like that. I asked some very learned contemporary Gaudiya Vaishnava, who's also here right now, who you probably know him, speaking of, and where does the idea of Dhammaparads come from, which is written and it's even mentioned in a book called Appreciating Vrindavan Dham. Have you heard of that book? Yeah. I saw it listed there a few years ago. And I asked that person that wrote that book, I said, I've never seen this, where did you get this? He said, I got this from a publication from Jayapur, which was quoting the Braj Bhakti Vilas by Narayan Bhatta Goswami in English. It was an article about Braj Parikrama. It was a journal in English, like a spiritual magazine. And it was called Braj Mandal Parikrama. And I said, one should avoid these. So from there, that's the answer the person gave me when I asked him. So the supposition is that I have not read this book by Narayan Bhatta Goswami. Narayan Bhatta Goswami first took initiation from Gopal Bhatta, I believe. He's quite an old devotee. Then later he went to someone else. He's the one that founded Laraliji and Varsana, the deities. So it's mentioned there. But at any rate, generally it's told that the key point about living in Braj is what I'm saying, that we're talking about living here a long time or many years or getting the mercy of living here. We should never commit any aparads. And there's 10 aparads. But the main thing everyone knows, it's clear, that's written in Padma Puran, that's written in Sanskrit, it's called Sadhu Ninda. One should, and there's also something called Jiva Hinsa, this is in Shastra. One should not commit violence to any living entity or give them distress, and one should not offend any saintly person. So all the Brijvasis are worshipable and saintly because they're Tadiya. The Dham of Krishna, the holy Dham of Krishna, and Tadiya, anything related to Krishna, is worshipable. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Vishnu, Lord Shiva, tells in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam to Parvati Rani, he says, Aradhanam, she says, who is the most worshipable entity? Aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnu Radhanam param. And he says, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, among Brahma and myself and all the devatas and devis, the most worshipable living entity, Aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnu Radhanam param. Vishnu Aradhanam, the worship of Vishnu is topmost. But not only is that is Vishnu worshipable, but tadiyam samarchanam. Tadiya, sama, archan. Everyone knows archanam. Tadiya, those things, tadiya, those things that are connected to Vishnu, Vishnu tadiya. Vishnu and Vishnu tadiya, sama, equal. They are equally worshipable and respectable by everyone. So therefore, we should be very careful about offending or disregarding the Dham Vasis, whether, and then any living entities in the Dham. Rather, we should serve them, as we mentioned the other day. If we live in that consciousness, we'll be able, probably be safely able to live in Vrindavan and do bhajan. But if we offend the Brijvasis or the Brahmins or the dogs or anyone, then our days may be numbered, as they say. So now it's...